Now, I'm going to go back to the book of redemption. We say the book of redemption. It doesn't say the book of redemption, but we're having reference to it because from all observation or whatever I can understand, this is what it is. Now, we're going to go back to that again once more over in the fifth chapter and the first verse. Remember again now, it was that this one that sat upon the throne had a book in his right hand, written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I just want to take my time and talk with you just a few minutes on this. I got a good atmosphere if it don't change. And I know with the heat going out, it may change. I don't know. But anyway, I want to talk with you a few minutes on this. And if there's something that we can say, something that we can do, then I want to try to say it and I want to do it. But if I can't, well, I won't force you. I won't try to do anything. I'll just ease on along and switch over and say a few things in the way of exhortation. And we'll go on. But I want to continue with the teachings of the Bible as much as I can, because the whole thing concerning godliness is the Word of God. You may not understand this when I say this, but there is one thing that God esteems even above His name, and that is His Word. See, even His name, which is the greatest thing there is, none of the name given under heaven whereby man must be saved, except the name Jesus. And there's only one thing that's esteemed above His name. Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I." And His Father was the Word. He was the Spirit. He was that which was made flesh. And so then, not understanding perhaps what Jesus said there, maybe sometimes we can explain it to you. But the one thing He esteemed above His name was His Word. And the reason for that is because the Word is God Himself. And naturally, a man is greater than his name. So God is greater than his name. So when we talk about the Word, this is why we always talk about the Word. And this is why we always want to talk about the Word. Because when we talk about the Word, we talk about God. Because there's no other identity in the earth aside from the name other than the Word. When we come to the Word, this is the only thing that brings God present. It's the only thing that identifies God in the earth or gives us any inclination as to thought toward God. So then, naturally, again, I say we want to talk about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came forth, put on flesh, or was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And when it was said, when Jesus was baptized, it was said, "And this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in the original rendering, it says, "This is Him in whom I am pleased to dwell." So it refers to Him as that one that in Him He was pleased to dwell. So this is what we see, that the fullness of God was in Jesus. The Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to Himself. That is, through the ministry of reconciliation, which was Jesus, that God, the great eternal Spirit in His fullness, was working through the human body toward the human family to redeem them back to Himself. That is, God the great Spirit was reaching out through the body of Jesus to try to get your spirit and my spirit and get that spirit back to His own spirit within Christ. So then God, who is the Father of spirits, was reaching for your spirit to get your spirit to bring it back to His spirit. And He was doing this through Jesus, because without Christ Jesus as a sacrificial offering, or without the atonement, he cannot do that. We have to come to the understanding that God cannot even look at us. There's no way that He can even look at us unless it be through Christ Jesus. So there has to be a blood atonement of the body of the spotless Lamb before He can even look at us. So it stands to reason there's no ministry of reconciliation except through Christ Jesus. Therefore, we as the body God has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, which means that we are, as in Christ is said, the Bible said, and as ambassadors from heaven or from Christ to go into this strange world that we're living in, that we might beseech those to repent of their sins and be reconciled to God, or that they should submit themselves unto God, or that is, we are ambassadors for Christ, like it would be if we sent an ambassador into the foreign country. So then we're not just mere people. See, when you send an ambassador from here into a foreign country, that's not just a mere person. See, a lot of people go into foreign countries, people that are strangers, they go there and they're nothing more than tourists. But when you go there as an ambassador, you are sent by the governmental powers of the nation that you come from. And that means that you are a dignitary and should be so treated that way among the people and should be received that way, because when you send an ambassador, whether it be an ambassador for peace or whatever it might be, when you send an ambassador, that means that if they're not entreated with respect or entreated right, that it can cause a war. Or it creates an indignation from the other nation, and the first thing that you know, you've got that nation pouncing upon you. So you have to be mighty careful as to the way that you entreat these people when they come into your presence. Now, we being ambassadors for Christ, we go out into the world. And those people have to be very careful how that they entreat us, because we are ambassadors from heaven. We're not of this world. We're not of this earth. We didn't come from the dust. We're not going back to the dust. We came from heaven. We're going back to heaven. We are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh. And Jesus said, I am not of this world. In your first birth, you are of this world. From the dust you are, to the dust you shall return, because ye are of the semen of Adam, and in Adam all died. But when you are born again, this is a more definite birth than even your first birth. And you are born into the kingdom of God. You don't just get into the kingdom of God. You don't just come down when some preacher's preaching and make a confession of faith, or say, I want to join the church, or I belong to Little Bethlehem, or I belong to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, or whatever it might be. You don't do that. See, you have to be born into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, lest ye be born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Because you cannot see the kingdom of God with your eyes. The kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. See, we need to get out of the natural world, out of the natural thinking, get into the thing. I know you hear these things. You say, Brother Pike, I hear these things. I know these things. You don't have to repeat these things. But I know that you don't. Because I see your actions every day. I see what you do, and the child's known by his doings. You don't do that. You don't perceive what I'm saying. See, so the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual thing. It's something that you'll never see. You can't see it. You'll never see it. See, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you think that someday I'm going to see it? You will never see it. It's not possible for you to see it. See, I know we say, well, someday we'll see the gates of pearls. And I say again, we'll be turned away from the gates of pearls. And you'll never see that. See, the Bible said that the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And the Bible said they are blinded by the ignorance that is within them. And when this great light shines, even though it shines in the midst of darkness, of this intellectual darkness, yet when this great light shines, they will never comprehend it. They cannot comprehend it. They cannot go into that light. See, this light destroys them. The very presence of this light is the power of eradication to them. So you are never going to see that with your natural eyes. This is why I say you don't understand when I say it. I can tell that you don't, even though tonight I can tell that you're picking up a little bit of what I'm saying. Jesus told the Jews, though they were ever so religious, now the scribes, the Pharisees, he said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. They kept saying, will the kingdom come? Or is at this time, will the kingdom appear? If ye be the Messiah, ye say that ye are the Messiah, then will the kingdom of God come? Jesus said, you're missing it. You're missing it. See, it's the same thing today. You're missing it. Everybody said, where is the kingdom of God? This great message, this great revelation, if this be it, where is the kingdom of God? See, I'm telling you, you're missing it. But those that are born again, only a few will find it. They're not missing it. They see exactly what we're saying. It's just like Michael's vision today. When Michael stood up here and Michael said, this has to do with your mind. How is it that God would show Mike, he's just a babe in Christ, but God would show Mike that this thing has to do with your mind. I keep pressing it upon you that you serve God with the mind. You see through the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And see, you've got to be born again to even have your understanding open. So then you don't know anything about anything until your understanding comes open. It isn't going to church. It isn't paying your tithe. It isn't praying. It isn't fasting. It isn't being the presence of everybody. Coming to church has nothing to do with it. How long you belong to the church of little Bethlehem has nothing to do with it. See, that has nothing to do with it at all. I tell the carnality even tonight as I talk still among you. See, it has nothing to do with it. You're judging carnal. See, it has nothing to do with it. You're going to have to get born again. You are translated into the kingdom of God. See, translated into the kingdom of God. You have to be translated into the kingdom of God. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was translated. How was he translated? He was translated by faith that he should not see death, that is, that he should see the kingdom of God. See, he was translated by faith that he should not see death, but see the kingdom of God. See, if you're not translated, you will never see the kingdom of God. And somebody said, well, why do you repeat that over and over? Because I want to get it in you. I want you to get a hold of it. Because you're not getting it. I tell is the carnality. You're still not getting it. You say, I hear that. I know that. Brother Pike, I got that. But you're not getting it. See, you've got to get spiritual. You've got to get spiritual. Even judging the words that I say unto you are spirit and life. These words are spirit and life. And when you judge them, you don't even judge them right. You judge them with the carnality. See, I can feel that thing. The one thing that Jesus felt when he come in the midst of them, the Bible said he perceived their thoughts in his spirits, and he said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you let these kind of thoughts come up out there in the audience? Why is it in your mind? Why is it in your heart? Why do you think like that? See, stop thinking like that. Get away from that conceit. See, get away from that. Here I go preaching again. Get away from that conceit. See, and get in there and listen to what I'm saying and believe what I'm saying. And as you begin to believe, then things will happen. Stop judging it with your mind. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to come to believe. See, faith cometh by hearing and by believing, not by judging and trying to figure this out or whatever. Just believe what I'm saying. You will never see the kingdom of God. Never. With your eyes. There won't be no days like that. Someone would say, well, I know we don't see it right now, Brother Pike, but this is what we're waiting for. And someday we're going to come to this and we're going to see this wonderful thing. It's going to come to pass. I'm telling you, it will never come to pass. There'll never be a day like that, because the Bible said God is the great light unto whom no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And Christ Jesus alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. God is a spirit, so you're never going to see it. This body is dead. Christ killed this body. He done away with this body. He done away with this life so that you could never see it. See, because he hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. So then, let's get it in our minds that we can't. And that we're going to have to come to the mind of Christ and get our understanding open as to eyes of understanding. And the only way we're going to see it is through the spiritual eyes of the eyes of understanding, because there's a spiritual man with spiritual eyes. There's a spiritual mind. There's a spiritual city. Now, I tell you again, there is coming 1,000 years of restoration on this present earth. There's going to be what we call the day of rest, or the restoration of the garden. And it's going to be 1,000 years of this, called the millennium, that you can see with your natural eye. that you'll be able to see with your natural eye. Now, you and I won't look on it with a natural eye because we've been born again. We'll be changed. Our bodies won't be natural. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. There's a terrestrial body. There's a celestial body. There's a corruptible body. There's an incorruptible body. And as you're born the image of this corruptible, ye shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The corruptible is the first man, Adam. All die. All flesh has corrupted its way before God, and the sentence of death is in the natural man. We're going to leave that thing. We don't have any use for that thing. That thing ain't nothing but a pretty boy and a pretty girl and something to lust after in the flesh, to go after the things of the world, long for the things of the world and the passions of the body and education and eating and drinking and all these kind of things and gold and silver and money and pretty things. And we're going to leave that. See, this world and all that's in this world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. All of this has to pass away. And we're going to leave that. So there's going to be a definite change. So let's get it in our mind that we are different people, that we've got to leave the world alone. We've got to stop whoring after the world and going after the world. We've got to go after Christ, as I said earlier in our little exhortation this morning. And going after Christ is going after the Word and going after the knowledge of the Word. And going after Lucifer is going after the world. For the Bible said he savors the things that be of the flesh. So if we go after the flesh, we go after the world. If we go after the world, we go after the flesh. Or if we have the love of the world in us, the love of the Father is not there. So we've got to get the love of the world out of us. If you want to live forever, if you want eternal life and eternal strength and eternal youth, and you want these things, you're going to have to get away from the world because you'll never have it. You may be young and you may be strong and you may be real satisfied with yourself, but God isn't satisfied with you at all. He's not satisfied with self at all. The Bible said lovers of self more than lovers of God. Paul said a wretched man is self. Do away with self. See, God doesn't like self at all. He don't like your image at all. He don't like what you are. He said, I'll despise your image in the morning. Get rid of the thing. Crucify the thing. Deny the thing. Present it a living sacrifice. Get your face out of the mirror. Get your mind out of your face. You serve God with the mind. Get your mind off of things and money and wealth and security. God knows you need all of these things. He said, take no thought for this. Get your thoughts off of that. Get your mind off of it. Don't take any thoughts for this. He said, seek the kingdom of God, and I'll be sure that all of your needs are taken care of to the extent I'll give you the desires of your heart. Get your mind off of your business. I talk to some of you, and you tell me I'm right in there with God. I love the Lord. I'm trying to do something for God. But every time I talk with you, your mind is on your business. And you won't leave your business for nothing. And your routine is you got to go to your business. Every morning you got to go to your business. Every day you got to go to your work. Every day you go around and around in a circle like the old Indian death walk. Continually around in a circle. You never stop till you drop dead. They put you in the casket and that's the end of you. So then what am I saying? Get your minds off of that. That's why when I come here and I try to preach to you, it takes me so long, even until just now. I'm just now beginning to feel a little of the carnality breaking off of you. See, just to get your minds together. So I come here to try to get the minds together. Now, when the preacher gets up here, he ought to have at least 3 hours to talk with you. But I know routine. I know the routine of preaching. So he don't. So when he comes up here, then he has to hurry along. See, and I'm up here early tonight, and I'm not hurrying. I'm just taking my time. See, and when I come here, it takes a minister 30, 40 minutes to ever get his congregation together. And by the time he gets it together, then something is wrong, like it being cool tonight or whatever. There's something wrong. And then in that, then the first news you know, everything is stopped. The preacher has to stop. The people's minds are gone. See, and get into the service when you come in. Come in with praises. Don't come in. We're not coming in here just to have, you know, this kind of thing and hallelujah and these kind of things. Even though that's wonderful if you're inspired and you feel to say hallelujah, pop your hands and do anything. That's wonderful. Now, But the thing is, God didn't call us to sing. God didn't call us to get up here and, like I said, and have singing services. This is what I've been trying to tell you. God is interested in one thing, and that's Himself, the Word. And He knows He's the only source of life. And if He don't get life over to you, you're gone. And that's His ultimatum. All He does with singing and all of these other things is to try to use that for a preparation of the heart for the Word. And when we don't get that out of the singing, we need to lay singing aside, because singing then becomes a hindrance to God. And if singing is substituted to the feeling that you get, whether it's shouting or feeling the rain on you or whatever, when you substitute the Word with that, then you might as well close down the service, because there's no travail unless there's a semen. And the semen is the Word. There is no harvest unless you plant a seed. And this is the seed. So then that means that we have to come into the house of God for this. And we come in with thanksgiving, and we come in with praise. And that praise is not a ha ha ha, this kind of thing, but it is out of our heart, the adoration, the love, that wonderful thing I spoke of today, where you love the Lord through the day, you love the Lord when you come in, you love the Lord when you lay down at night, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're loving the Lord, you think on the Lord, you love the Lord, you love the Lord, you love the Lord. With all of your strength, you love the Lord. If you go to do anything with your physical strength, you just want to do it as unto Christ. If you want to say something, you want to say it as unto the Lord. You love Him with all of your mind, every thought, with all of your strength, with all of your heart, you love the Lord. See, to meditate in His law day and night. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if I do that, I don't have any time for myself. That's exactly right. Self is supposed to be dead. He doesn't have any time. He's dead. He's gone. He forfeited his right to everything. And he's dead, and good riddance, because he is dead. Because he's of the devil to start with. He's filled with the devil all of his life. And he's nothing but a troublemaker. And when Christ killed him at Calvary, that ended him. And you keep your foot on his head. As Paul said, oh, wretched man that you are, put that thing under your feet and don't never let him lift his head up trying to get himself a PhD or have a career or be in the upper echelon or be some great entertainer or anything else. Get rid of him just like that. All right, so then we understand what we're saying tonight. I know that this kind of preaching is so contrary to the average preaching today, and it's so out of date for people of today that they don't understand it. And it's so foreign, it's like a foreign language when you go to tell people this. See, but this is the right way. This is the God way. This is the only way. And all of those other things you're going to see, they're going to fall through. And you're going to see it's going to be a very few that finds this. And you're going to find out, just like I told you, that all of that out there that's mixed themselves with the world and with ball games and mixed themselves with all of the money and the gold and the silver and the popularity that's looking for positions in the world, that's after prosperity, supposing that prosperity is gain, as godliness, they're going to lose all of that. They're going to die and lose all of that. Now, a lot of times someone would say, well, Brother Pike, don't some of them get a lot of money? They do get a lot of money. Don't they get a lot of fame? They do. A lot of popularity? They do. Aren't they very religious? They are. Now, but what are they? They're concubines. Just like David, he put his concubines away. He gave them gifts. Solomon put the concubines away, gave them a gift. They got gifts. But see, when it come to the woman that Solomon loved and David loved, that was the one that got the kingdom. See, the son of that one that David loved got the kingdom. And that's the difference right there. See, the kingdom belongs to us because we're the apple of God's eye. He loves us. We're His bride. And we have to be virtuous and we have to be pure. So we have to come out of the world and be a separate people, not to touch those unclean things, because Christ isn't unclean and we're the body of Christ. Therefore, we have to come out of that and we have to be the body of Christ, which means the body of the Word. And to be one with Christ, we have to be the Word. See, how can I be one with the Word and not be the Word? He was the Word made flesh. How can I be the Word and not have the Word made flesh? How can I be the Word and not give all of my mind to the Word? See, so then we walk in the Word. We talk in the Word. Our conversation is in heaven. We do those things that please God. Therefore, we have confidence that when we ask of God, He heareth our voice. And whatever we desire of Him, we have because we do the things that please Him. All right, so this is why that I speak to you like I do. We will never see the kingdom of God as a natural person. That will never be. Through the millennium, the Jews will see a natural earth. We will see a natural earth. But we will be a spiritual being when we see it. We will be like the angels. Though we will have our body, it will be our new body. Just like Jesus resurrected from the dead, He had His body. He walked through the wall. He ate the honey cone and whatever the fish. See, and we will have our appetites just like they'll have theirs. But we will be heavenly. We will be celestial. We will be to where they could not kill us. Nothing can happen to us. We will be eternal. We will be the sunlight of the millennium. We will be the reason for the millennium because we will be the light of that heavenly thing that shines down upon the earth that eradicates the shadows of the discrepancies of the world. It's to the curse to take away all of those things that causes God's wrath to come down upon those things. So that the Jews can be restored as to the garden Nero, and these things can go back to its originality. See, but beyond that, 1,000 years away from the beginning of that 1,000 years over to the end of it, and there comes in that great celestial city, which is a spiritual city. This is where we belong. This is what belongs to us. This is the thing that eye hath never seen, nor can ever see. And this is that great, wonderful thing that God has hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent and give it to us. See, this is that John saw as the great, wonderful city descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. A great, beautiful city made of lively stones, founded upon a foundation of the apostolic leaders, those foundations that Christ laid. And the Bible said, other foundations can no man lay except this that's been laid by the Lord Jesus. And ye builders, take heed how ye build thereupon. For if ye build upon this foundation hay and stubble, the Bible said, the day will come that will burn it up. See, take heed how you build. Build upon this foundation these lively stones. Don't go to putting hay in stubble. When you go out here and set a light by the dead and you tell somebody that they can go to heaven, just come up and make a confession and everybody stand before me and repeat after me, you're putting hay in stubble on this foundation and it won't work. It won't work because all of that God's going to consume with the brightness of His coming. It's nothing but tares. But when you go to build, get a real lively stone and lay it on this foundation. And when you get a real Christian, when you have a real conversion, the Bible said, know that if you convert a soul, then you have saved a soul from hell. You become a savior, you become a builder, you become a member of the body of the great builder, Jesus Christ. Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker is God. This is why I keep referring to this chapter, as I will over and over, of the book of redemption. Though I don't get to say much about this book of redemption, but I keep breaking off in little parts to talk to you about this thing, and all of this is within that book. Though you don't understand it, it would take a good long while to go through it to break it down to where you could understand it. But it's time that we started to understand. It's time that we got into the mysteries of God. If you don't get into the mysteries of God, you're not going to see that city. You're never going to see that city. You've got to get into the mysteries of God. Did you know that just to have baptism, it is a mystery? To understand baptism, it is a mystery. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I don't see where there's any mystery about baptism in Jesus' name. I got baptized in Jesus' name. But did you know that there's a whole world of people, millions upon millions upon millions of people that are religious today, that's in all kind of religious walk, and they are not baptized in Jesus' name, and they do not understand baptism in Jesus' name, and you could never convince them of baptism in Jesus' name unless God reveals it to them. See, Jesus said it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to you it's given. Why should I be baptized in Jesus' name? Because there's a reason for it. There's a mysterious reason for it. So a lot of you just take the preacher's word for it and you go get baptized in Jesus' name. But really you don't understand it. But you do honor the preacher and honor God by doing it. And because of that, then God begins to open your mind. Now, so then this is a great mystery. It's given to Paul as our overseer to bring this mystery, that it might be hid from the world, having been hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, even the religious scholars, that it might be made revelation unto babes. This is why that I have a problem out of some of you. You are very carnal, you're very skillful in the world, and you're very intellectual in the world, and you got all the answers in the world, as seemingly. And you know what you want to do in the world, and you think carnally all the time. But when it comes to spiritual things, you don't understand nothing. And so then you are a thorn in my flesh. Your carnal mind is always a problem when you come to the house of God. And you're going to have to get rid of it. Someone would say, well, how can I get rid of it? Die. You're supposed to die. That's how you get rid of it. There ain't no other way to get rid of it. It's the serpent mind. It's the old serpent seed. It's the old serpent mind. And the only way that you can prove that you're not a serpent seed is that you get rid of it. Otherwise, if you come through Adam as to the first birth, you are a serpent seed. And there's no way to change it. And Adam all die. He's the one that fell prey to the thing of the serpent and the feminine gender. And all die in Adam because it's the serpent seed. And unless you're born again, unless you can prove by new birth, by being born again, that you are Christ's body, then you are the serpent seed. If you can be born again, that proves that you are elect. Jesus said, all men have not faith. That is faith unto salvation. And the Bible said when Paul preached, the elect believed. Those that were ordained unto eternal life, as to Jacob I love, for knowledge elect according, they believed, but the others did not. And so then, this is the test. When we come and give you the word test, it is the proof as to whether you're born to the word as the seed of the woman, as to the seed of Christ, or whether you're born to the seed of the serpent, as to the old intellectual indoctrination of the educational, skillful side of life, as to eating and drinking and buying and all these things, as to all of your labor for your belly, and that you're on your belly, and that all of these things that you do every day is for your own natural intelligence, by your natural intelligence, for your natural being, and for your own security, and for your own convent, as to saving the things that be of the flesh. Satan, as the serpent, saves the things that be of the flesh. So the Bible said, cleanse yourself from the filth of the flesh, because the flesh is filthy in the sight of God. So if you're fleshly, then are you filthy. But when you're born again, you're not fleshly. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So if you're born again, then are you not flesh? Therefore, you're not unclean. And if you're born again, then are you a quickening spirit. And that means being born again, that you're of the body and bone and flesh of that precious, wonderful, spiritual body, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So then the word is the test. When you just want to sing, clap your hands, I'm telling you again. You just want to come to church, I'm telling you again. You're nothing at all. See, because you come and you feel good and you feel the Spirit of God and you feel the rain upon you poured out upon the just and the unjust, I tell you again, God has allowed that through the blood of Jesus, that there might be a time of lightening up in your mind to where you can see that you need repentance. But when this rain comes, it comes on the tare and on the wheat. But your nature is still tare. and the harvest will cause you to go into the fire. God is cutting them down. I just went with somebody over to Red Lobster, and when we got over there, the place was so filled up, you could hardly get in. We had to stand and wait, which I don't like to do. I just leave when it's like that. But the brother that took me, he was buying the meal, and he wanted to do that, so we waited. And then we come to find out that, or according to what I heard, that a lot of these were Kentuckians, which apparently it must have been a bulldog game, and it all gathered there to eat. See, eating and drinking in the last days, marrying, given in marriage in the last days, all of their labor for their belly. You could tell in looking at them and talking to them that their mind was spaced out, as the world says. They did not have their mind on God. They did not have the word of God. Their knowledge as to the serpent seed was there. And just that old tree of knowledge and reasoning and ball games and Satan saving the things that be of the flesh. And the word wasn't there. No concern about God, drinking, eating, and sometimes intoxicated. So then you can tell, see, that last day is here. And I said to the brother, I said, God's cutting down the tares. I said, He's cutting down the tares. Everywhere you look, see, that He hath bundled them into tares. He said in the last days, Jesus said, this parable is the bundling of the tares. I'll bundle them into tares. I'll put them in the bulldogs. I'll put them in the red devils. I'll put them in a social benefit over here. I'll put them in the ecclesia as to the government, some kind of ranks, or they'll be in their little group over here as to those that like the vacation or the golf players or the hunters or whatever it might be. I'll gather them into their groups. I'll bundle them into bundles. And then after that, when I get them all bundled together, which it looks like He's done, then I'm going to cut them all down. And when I cut them all down, I'm going to gather all of the bundles into the fire. And then the wheat, I'm going to gather the wheat into the garners. So He's cutting them down and He's putting them into His wrath. He's gathering them into His wrath. See, He's gathering them into His wrath. And at the same time, He is beginning to get ready now to gather the wheat into the garners. The wheat is about ready to be brought into the garners. He's cutting them all down, wheat and tare alike. So then it's very evident that we're right at the end of the world. Everything is at a close. We are the children of God. We must be spiritual. We must be faithful. We must come out from the world and be a separate people, not to touch the unclean things that God might receive us. And we must be His bride. We must be the Word. We must be made the Word, altogether the Word. We cannot be made anything else but the Word, because this is the semen. This is the determining factor. If I'm born of the Word, I will be of the Word. If I'm born of the seed of corruption as intellectual knowledge, I will be that. I will want that. I will have an appetite for the natural things of this world, all that's of this world. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all of that has to pass away. So if I'm going to be the Word, I got to walk in the Word, talk in the Word, think the Word, eat the Word, meditate in the Word night and day until every thought is gone and nothing but Christ's mind is there to motivate me and to move me. Someone would say, well, my God, Brother Pike, surely you don't think that's all we can do. That's all that His bride will want to do. That's all that His bride will desire. The love of the world, the concern of the world is not there. Someone would say, but what about all of these good things, Brother Pike? I have all of these good things. The Bible said, I will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. I've given you all things in Christ. I have all of those things. They belong to me already. I'm not going after them. I already own those things. What I'm trying to do is please Christ, that I might be one with Him. He's the giver. All these things emanated from Him. I am one with Him. I have full control of these things. I am raised up to rule with a rod of iron, to break the nation into pieces like pottery, to say what I will, to think what I will, to decree a thing in my heart that it might come to pass. Why should I then seek after the vanities of the world, knowing that they're going to pass away? Satan savors the things of the world, because the love of the world is in you, then Satan has control of you. And you're not going to make the change from the molecular side of life to this wonderful spiritual side of life. So you are a beast. Soon you'll be gathered into that, all of you will come together, and that great leader that will come and he will stamp you with his seal, and then you'll be forever and eternally doomed. No hope after that. All right, so then, this is where we're at. See, a lot more we could say. It's still not too cool in here, but you listened real good for this little exhortation. So, we're not going to go any farther. Get away early because we didn't have much singing. Now, so then think on this. When you go away tonight, you'll be thinking on the Word. When you go away tonight, you won't just be singing and all this kind of thing, but your mind will be oriented in the Word. You spend a little time in prayer. You spend a little time listening and conceiving of the Word. See, you've got to conceive of this. Just listening is not enough. But I do know that you are listening. I do know that you are perceiving to the extent of interest. See, and creating just a little hunger. Now you've got to conceive of the Word. Now when you conceive of the Word, then all of a sudden it takes hold in you and you begin to be converted and you begin to change and you begin to be peculiar to the world. The Bible said, I'll have a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Where we get into trouble, we think we got to relate to the world and we got to be with the world and we got to do like the world. See, that's not right. We come out from the world. We be a separate people. It's not God calling us to a mixture. Somebody said, let the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterian, all of them Pentecostals, let them get together. Then we'll have one great, wonderful thing. All of God's people will be together. When we get all of them together, we'll have one big mess because God's people won't be in that. They'll have to come out of that. See, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, that don't sound right. That's exactly the way it is. It'll be one big mess. God's people is a separate people. Jesus emphatically stated that the mustard seed won't mix with nothing. See, you got to come out from among men, be a separate people. Though you're a little seed, you'll grow and outgrow all the other herbs and grow bigger. So then we know for sure that we are a separate people. We are an outstanding people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We must do our job. We're not all that many. We're scattered out. And the way they treat you is the way God's going to treat them. Whatever they do to you, he's going to do that to them. If they trouble you, he's going to trouble them. And according to what they do to you, you'll judge them. You're the saints. You're going to judge the world according to what they did to you or did not do to you as to leaving you in an insufficiency. So then this is where we're at. They're going to cheat you. They're not going to treat you right. And whatever you do, they're going to take advantage of you, but they're going to answer in the day of judgment. Not all of them will take advantage of you because some of them is friends of the bridegroom. Some of them are children of the bride chamber. And some of them will befriend you and do things that will help you along. God's got some here for that purpose. But you are the bride. And this is what's so important. We are the bride. Though we come to church, how many among you tonight that's listening to my voice, how many of you, see, are nothing but children of the bride chamber? Though you mourn, you're still just children of the bride chamber. How many of you are nothing more than friends of the bridegroom? See, but how many of you conceive of the Word to bring forth the child? That's his bride. See, Christ in you I travail till Christ be formed within you from the semen of this Word. See, how many of you have conceived of the Word to go into a travail, to bring forth Christ in your life through self-denial? Someone would say, what do you mean Christ in my life? I mean to act like Christ, to think like Christ, to walk like Christ, to know Him in the fellowship of self-denial and to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, to put the world away, to deny yourself of those things that you might be not as you living, but Christ living in you. All right, so the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, even the life I live in my body. Let's stand together. Appreciate your attention. Didn't have to chide with you tonight. Just a little different arrangement. And we find out that everything turns out a whole lot better. And people begin to listen. Things begin to happen as to listening to the Word. And then we go away with different thoughts and different feelings. But remember, be not just a hearer of the Word only, but a doer. Be not as one that beholdeth himself in the mirror and then go and straightway forget what manner of person he is. Don't do that. See, remember, you must conceive of the Word. And you must go your way as one in conception that you might go into travail and that you might come out from the world and be a separate people, that you might bring forth Christ. And will you do this? That's your hope of glory. The woman with a child, and she's got an inheritance. Christ is the only hope of that glory, because it is His glory. And on the inside, from glory to glory, from this Christ to this Word, you're changed into the great, wonderful image of the lovely Son of God, all because you're willing to become the Word, or let the Word be made manifest in your mortal genes. All right, I love you. My prayers go with you all the time. Jesus said, watch. He said, pray, lest you enter into temptation. For though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. While we sing a little chorus or two tonight, we're going to worship the Lord. I want to say again, we appreciate the coordination, the sacredness, the reverence of the Word, of the house, and of the men coming into the house of the Lord, praying a little bit, coordinating our minds. It cuts down on the problem, so it doesn't take as long to hold you, can minister to you, and you can get whatever you need. And see, right now it's beginning to cool off, but it's not so bad, because you're beginning to move around and you stimulate a little heat. See, and it's not so bad to have an altar call when you start moving around, but it's just now beginning to cool off. And the Lord helped us there with just a little bit of attention to where we could do something. When you go through all of this other, then by then the sanctuary is cold and we're not able to do anything. Just supposing that God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the great sacrifice that was needed to bring eternal life to you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then my soul would forever be lost. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. For I want to grow higher in Thee. But the Lord knows I can't dwell on the mountain. So we picked out a valley for me, and He leads me beside still water, and somewhere He calls me aside to be tested and tried. In the valley He restores my soul. Let's sing this little chorus. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten,
and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day it would end. But an old-time preacher came a-calling one day from the Bible. He read a few words. Now I can say I am happy on my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. Came a little closer, just a little closer, and I got a little closer to my Lord. And my heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Let's lift our hands up together. Come a little closer, just a little closer to the Lord. While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, let's sing this little chorus together, Kevin. Let's sing this chorus this day. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that's got control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And everything falls over. I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls, or the I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, we're going to sing a little chorus here and try to close. Think it over now. You've done real good tonight. I feel a different spirit. I don't feel us moving in the spirit like I'd like to feel us moving in the spirit. But I do feel a different spirit, and I do feel a little revival in your heart as to the things of God and a little concern. And of course, this makes a lot of difference. So tonight, while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, we're going to sing this little chorus or so, and then we'll let you go. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing that with me? To help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Happen, and now, oh, I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. For he touched me, oh, he touched me, and that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now, oh, I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. I want to praise him. I want to praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And to give him for his blood it washed away every stain. Once again, and I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the sinners slain, and I'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood washed. Can you sing it one more time with me? Will praise him. I will praise him. But ask Brother Gary Armstrong, if he will, to come up and dismiss us. While Gary's coming, let's just lift our hands up together tonight. Think about the Lord. Can you just close your eyes, lift your hands up? And while we're singing the song, can you love the Lord? Can you give him a wave offering tonight? Can you do that? So I will praise him.